Join me in your Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, if you've got a marker, you might want to just put your marker there at Deuteronomy chapter 8, because we're going to be going to a lot of different places, but we'll be coming back to that chapter several times, because this chapter holds, I think, the heart of what I'd like for us to think about on the subject of forgetting God. Maybe you got that email from Brother Jim Mettenbrink earlier this week. He writes an article or so every week or so, and usually sends me a copy, and the one this past week was on that very subject, and it kind of got me to thinking, and he had some really good points, and so I've got to give him credit for it. At least turning the key and starting the engine, and hopefully I was able to take it from there. But the subject of forgetting God, as you might imagine, is a subject that we probably need to spend some time talking about. It's one of those subjects that we often encounter in settings just like this, subjects that really have a clear application to the world around us, the things that are going on around us that we don't necessarily have any control over, but that we're kind of responsible for being right in the middle of everything and watching some of the things that take place around us in the world of politics, in the world of national concerns, in the world of worldly affairs. I assume you're a lot like I am. You don't feel like you've got much control over what's going on out there. Sometimes it seems like all we can do is sit back and scratch our head and say, why in the world are they doing that? But there's also another application that we need to see. And as I said, we often encounter these kind of subjects that have that application very obviously in the world around us. But we also need to apply this to ourselves in the things that we do have control over. I think you would agree with me that there is hardly a bigger challenge before any of us than the challenge of maintaining the right relationship with God and with God's will while we are surrounded by a world that seems to have gone crazy and is at the very best somewhat unpredictable. Very much like Derek prayed a few minutes ago in his prayer, and like that song says, we need God's help in every measure that we can receive. The help to keep ourselves pure. And if you think for just a second that we can sit down and assuming that you come to Sunday school class as well, say 2 hours on Sunday morning, and assuming that you come back on Sunday night and listen to a 30-minute sermon, and then assuming that you come on Wednesday night and sit through an hour or 45 minutes of Bible class, what's that, 3.5 hours at the very most? If you think for an instant that 3.5 hours of study of God's Word in a corporate setting like this is all of the insulation we need to protect us from the world and to help us keep ourselves pure, I'm afraid, well, you're probably already in the process of being disappointed with the results that you're getting in your... I hope you're disappointed, because there's no way that we can grow and strengthen ourselves and insulate ourselves from all that goes on around us just by a few appearances in a Bible class or listening to a couple of sermons every week. We do need to use these times together like this, though, to open God's Word and to be strengthened together, to encourage one another and to be encouraged by the Word and by the examples of those who have lived before us, whose stories are told in the Word of God, because that's part of the purpose for including their stories, to help us live better, and especially in regard to what we're going to look at this morning, to not make the same mistakes that people in the past have made, especially in the matter of forgetting God. Thanks to Brooks for reading that passage to us. That's coming from our lesson text this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to read it again as we get started here, and I want to read it a little bit further. Beginning in verse 11, and this is not the first time that God has mention this subject. In fact, you could go all the way back to the beginning of this chapter, and you'll see that God's already made reference to the danger of forgetting Him and forgetting His Word. But let's take up the reading at verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, we all know that this is Moses' address to the assembled Israelite nation as they were on the verge of going into Canaan's land to retake the land that had been the land of their forefathers. The land that was referred to as the Promised Land. Moses is near the end of his life, and he delivers what some call his final address. And he's talking to the Israelites about the reality of the dangers that they will face when they are reestablished in the land. And he says, when you've built your houses, you've lived in them, you've got your herds and your flocks, and they begin to multiply, and you begin to make money carrying on whatever business enterprise you're engaged in, when all of the things that you have continue to improve and multiply, he says, there's a great danger that you're going to have proud hearts. And especially if you forget God by not obeying His commandments. Back to verse 15. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish, Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Someone has written that the Bible expresses it in hundreds of different ways. We must not forget God. Now, nobody wants to be forgotten. Most of us live our lives here, and a lot of people live with the very conscious idea of trying to accomplish things so that when they're gone, they won't be forgotten. Somebody will remember them. We talk about living for our legacy. We talk about our children who will carry on whatever we've done. And there's a wholesome line of thinking that says I need to live a good life and ingrain that in my descendants so that they will carry on my good name. Nothing wrong with that. Nobody wants to be forgotten. God doesn't want to be forgotten either, but it's not because he wants to be famous. It's not because he's got some hang up about people not remembering him just from the standpoint of forgetting who he was. God doesn't want us to forget him because it's all for our sake. As he has expressed here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 through the words of Moses, if people forget God, it's no skin off God's nose. It's to the detriment of ourselves that we forget God. And so that's why the Bible in 100 different ways says it over and over and over. Don't forget God. We're not doing anything for God in the ultimate sense. Everything that we do is to our benefit in serving and pleasing God. I wish there were some easy way I could figure out to express that to people who've misunderstood for so long. It's almost as though some people have the idea, well, God wants us to obey him because he's on some ego trip. And if we forget him and don't obey him, then it hurts his, it hurts his ego and all of that. No, no, no. Everything we strive for, every way that we obey God, every element of our service to him ultimately is for our own good. It's for our own good. You know, it's been that way from the very beginning. That was God's, it seems a little cheap to say God's policy, but that's been his policy the whole time. Everything that we do for him is for our own good. So, this morning as we look at this subject and are reminded of the kind of things that are going on all around us in our culture today, every time you turn on the news, if you choose to do that, you're treated to another dose of the way that some have seemingly just gone every single day a step further and further and further away from God, forgetting who he is, and in fact in the process trying to tell everyone around themselves that God is not relevant anymore, that God doesn't matter anymore, that God's word is out of date, God's word is nothing but a restrictive old document to help keep us in line. Back to that previous point, it's all for our good, for our benefit. God loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his son to redeem us from sin. He loves us so much that He wants us to obey Him and serve Him for our own good. And so I suppose the logical place for us to begin in talking about forgetting God is the fact that over and over and over we get the impression that there really must be a great potential danger of forgetting God. In fact, I would go so far as to say that there are very few subjects, especially in the Old Testament, that are addressed any more clearly than the fact that there was a great danger of forgetting God. There are at least 40 specific Old Testament verses that use the word forget, forgot, or forgotten in talking specifically about our memory of God. Now, there are a lot of places where God promises that He will never forget us. A lot of the Psalms spend time in talking to God and saying, don't forget us. Do not forget my efforts. Do not forget my blessings. But I'm talking specifically on the subject of our forgetting God. There are at least 40 verses in there that remind us in very stern terms of the danger of forgetting God. And then as you get into the Old Testament story and the unfolding of the story of the divided kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, then the discussion turns in many places to the past tense, where God says, my people have forgotten me, again and again and again. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's mentioned there specifically in verse 11 that we read just a few minutes ago. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. It's there again in verse 14 where He specifically says, you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then verse 19, it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods. In verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, He says, remember all the way which your Lord has led you in the wilderness. We could turn over to 2 Kings chapter 17. And here, the subject turns to a discussion of why the northern kingdom of Israel was carried away into Assyrian captivity. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 38. God says, I told you that the covenant that I made with you, you shall not forget. Verse 39, you shall fear the Lord your God, and He will deliver you. Verse 40, however, they did not listen. Verse 41, so while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren as their fathers did, so they do to this day. Let me point something out here. He makes a clear reference to the fact that while on the one hand they feared God, on the other hand they continued to serve idols and false gods. Does that ring familiar? We often refer to this as a Christian nation. Granted, that terminology isn't quite as popular as it used to be in the 70s and 80s, But we've always been, as Americans, somewhat proud of the fact that we are a Christian nation. And yet, on every hand, this nation serves other gods. In fact, I don't know that there's ever been a better illustration of what the writer talks about there in 2 Kings chapter 17 than what goes on around us today. Claiming to fear God and yet trying to tear down and destroy the foundation at every turn. 13 times in the book of Psalms, the warning is given. 8 of them occur in Psalm 119, where David specifically says, I will not forget your word, your law, your precepts, your commandments. And then there are, of course, the classic examples that are cited again and again in Scripture. Looking back at what has happened, both the northern kingdom of Israel and then later the southern kingdom of Judah served other gods and refused to turn back to Jehovah and were carried into captivity. The northern kingdom never to return again and be restored. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, Jeremiah asked the question, and these, of course, are the words of God expressed through the prophet Jeremiah. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21 expresses the same thing. At about the same time in history, the prophet Hosea in chapter 4, verse 6 expresses God's words on the matter. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. But let me tell you something. This is all kind of wrapped around a paradox of sorts. A paradox is a set of facts or even sometimes circumstances that fit together but that don't appear to be working to the same end. The paradox about all of this is that God loves us and wants to bless us with abundance. But at the same time, fullness can so often lead to forgetfulness. Remember what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 through Moses? He says, when you've gone into the land, when you've built your houses and lived in them, when your herds are multiplied, when your gold and silver begins to grow, you're in danger of forgetting. Now, let me ask you something. Where did that land come from? How did they get to it? God led them to it, didn't he? God blessed them with it. How did they have the strength and the materials and the wherewithal to build the houses that they were going to build and live in? Of course, that's God's blessing to them. God helped them in every way in that land. In fact, you could back up earlier in the story and look at them in the wilderness. As they went through the dry places where there was no water, God, as he makes reference to the fact that he caused the water to come out of the rock for them. God blesses them, blesses us today with uncountable blessings. And yet, it's most often the fullness that we have, the abundance that we have, that leads us to forget God. There's the paradox. And so you might logically say, if you're looking at this purely from a reason standpoint, a logic standpoint, you could say, well, you know, I wish God wouldn't bless me so much because those blessings may lead me to forget God. Would there actually be anything untrue about a statement like that? Nope. Because it is a trait, it is a characteristic of humanity, that when we go through good times and great blessings, it's then that it's most likely that people forget God. And so we might just pray, Lord, take all these things away from me. I don't want any drinking water. I don't want a house to live in. I don't want a car to drive. It'd be a long prayer, wouldn't it? That's how much He's blessed us. But the fact is, He blesses us because He loves us. And He wants us to remember Him because He knows it sustains us. And so, briefly, let's notice three specific realms where we see this matter of forgetting God illustrated all around us. Forgetting God and trusting in lies and falsehoods. Do you believe what you see on the news? I think most of us have talked about it enough that I feel fairly comfortable with saying I'm talking to a group of people who really don't trust everything they see. And when it comes to that, which you can look up on the internet, you got to really be careful because we know that there's just so much out there that's not true. Isn't it amazing how much of our very existence here in this nation, whether we're talking about our economy, whether we're talking about our national defense, whether we're talking about any of those very important elements, is based on some really shaky things? I mean, we're living in a time right now where as we often say, it's for some folks, they've figured out how it's more profitable not to work than to work. What's that all about? What's the future in that? Look down the road. Look at where this is going. I know we revert back to the fact that we've admitted at the very beginning we don't have any control over these kind of things. But our lives, in a sense, are being basically built in this nation on a bunch of lies and falsehoods. Now, there may not be anything you can do about it right now, today, or tomorrow. But we can all say we've been warned. We can all understand the fact that we need to be more careful. We can understand the fact that we need to take a closer look at what's been being presented to us as the truth. Because one of the ways that we illustrate this matter of forgetting God is through all of the lies and falsehoods that prop everything up that we seem to be so dependent on in this country. The idea that money is so free and available, and then when we run out, we can just print some more. Where is that going to take us? There is, of course, the matter of forgetting God and trusting other gods. Idols. In fact, verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, again, it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. The world all around us is filled with objects and practices that have become gods to be worshipped. We dare not tie our lives to those kind of things. But here's the biggest one. Forgetting God and trusting self. Trusting self.
Notice what he says there in verse 19, Deuteronomy 8. That you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. No, it did not. As the question is raised elsewhere in Scripture, what do you have that God did not bless you with? Absolutely nothing. One of the indicators of a nation that forgets God is this trusting in self. Well, there's got to be a remedy to this. And I think you know where it is. Let's just read some of what God's Word says. Let's read from Psalm 103. Here's the remedy. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. He who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things. See that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses. He acts His acts to the son of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, though, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. July 13th, last year, the organization known as Answers in Genesis published an article written by Mr. Ken Ham that reported on a most recent Gallup poll of a section of Americans and revealed the results in these terms. 43% of Americans poll said that buying or wearing fur clothing is morally wrong. I'm good with that if you feel that way. If that's your thing, I'm not going to fuss with you over it if you're in that 43%. At the same time, in the same poll, 27% said that sex outside of marriage is okay. That's more than one in four. 18% said divorce is okay for any reason. Homosexual acts okay, 32%. That's one out of three of those sampled. Forty-four percent say that abortion is morally acceptable. But here's the weird thing. In that same poll, only 18% believe that suicide is morally acceptable. That just illustrates the convoluted situation of modern thinking today. that it's okay to kill an unborn baby, but it's not okay to kill yourself. There were other things revealed in that poll. None of them would make you feel good about whoever it was who responded to that poll. I want to close by referring us to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 1 discusses in detail all of the things that were going on in Paul's day in that part of the world where people refused to hold God in their hearts. And in chapter 2, Paul turns his attention to the Jewish readers of this letter, and he basically said, you're not much better because you're condemning the world around you for the things that are going on, and you yourselves are guilty of things that are just as bad. And you know where I'm going with this. We don't want to be in the position of those Jewish readers of the book of Romans who sit back and wring our hands and moan and groan about how bad the world is getting around us, while when it comes right down to it, our own relationships with God are not much better. We dare not forget God. And one of the ways that we illustrate the matter of forgetting God is in failing to study His Word, is in failing to grow in strength and maturity as a child of God, in making the bad decisions that have come to characterize so many people in our nation. In all honesty, there is very little that we can do about our nation around us other than the voting booth. And there, most of the time, that feels like a pretty futile effort. But there is everything that we can do in our own lives. Let's take heed to the warning. We must not forget God. It will become evident in so many ways in our daily conduct, in the condition of our hearts, the purity of our lives. Don't forget God. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not do that today? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, rise and walk in newness of life. If you've done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back? Before you get any further away, come back now. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.